let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. Guess who's here with me in the studio? Father John.
None other than me. This is the only one that appears for this show, right?
Here we are. I'm Danny Gallagher, and we're both in the studio to talk about the continuation of our focus in the Abrahamic Covenant on motifs.
That's right.
And this is the fourth one, I think. Oh my gosh. I think it is the fourth one, and it's Theophany Encounters, which I'm telling you, when I read this post on ancienthopes.org, I had to read it about five times and look at the scriptures, because it's all these ways that God interacted with different people in the scriptures in different ways.
That's right. You know, and in this very ancient moment in biblical history, as you read the narratives, you see that God appears to the patriarchs.
Yeah.
Like one day you've got Abraham probably around noon having a siesta. You can hear the ropes sort of bang against each other as they waft in the hot, you know, eating Middle Eastern day, you know.
Just like outside.
Yeah, just like it is right now, you know. And then, you know, he sort of just wakes up. You know how you do when you're dozing like that. And there's three men there standing there, right?
Yeah. And he's quick.
Yeah. I mean, he got up, boom, just like that, right? And, of course, the question is, who are these three men, right?
Yeah, right.
And we are struck right off the bat with this, Danny. It's very ambiguous.
Yes.
And the ambiguity is intentional.
Then that's unfortunate.
Well, it is for us who are so scientific, and we tend to be rationalists, and rationalists are always afraid of the dark. I think I mentioned that before.
True, true. And we want explanations. Right. We want explanations for things, and explanations that are exacting. You know, we want things explained to us.
Right. And there's this tantalizing fact that there are three of them. Of course, as Christians, we immediately go to the Trinity, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I think of, I don't know if you like icons or not, but Rublev made a very famous.
Oh, I think I do know that.
Yeah,
one.
Right. Yeah. Where that it is Trinitarian. And he calls it the three visitors, mm-hmm. you know, obviously drawing from the story.
Right, right? Yeah. Being ambiguous, like the story.
Right. You know, but the ambiguity, as you read through the narrative, you know, the Lord says, okay, who's he speaking through? All three at once?
Yes.
Or is there one spokesman? You can't get to the bottom of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intentional, because what the narrative does is trying to preserve the mystery.
It does that well.
Is the Malach Yahweh, the messenger of Yahweh, is that an angel, or is the messenger himself God?
Yeah. Except that there are times when it seems like God in that group or in other groups is speaking for himself.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so Abraham is hospitable. He's called the friend of God because he was a host to God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And again, which of the three, we don't know, but it seems like there's one, because when the three men start looking towards Sodom, one stays behind and two go. And the one who stays behind is the one who seems to be Yahweh speaking. So
yeah.
We don't know, but it could have been Yahweh with two angels, but we can't say for sure. And that mystery is intentional because it tries to preserve the tension between a transcendent God who is above and beyond all things, who cannot be reduced down to anything, really.
Yeah.
Even to ideas or words, it's beyond anything, the unknown, so to speak, because our minds are not able to grasp it, but still breaks into history.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the point. He breaks into history, and he does so in a familial way, because what do we say about encounters? They're all in the context of covenant, and a covenant is a kinship bond established by an oath. And it's outrageous, Danny, it's outrageous, as we said before, that the creator God, who stands above space and time, enters into time and encounters Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in time, and makes such an impression on them by giving them promises that are going to change world history.
Yeah, right.
And these God encounters are fundamental to their religion. Okay. Very different from the pagans. Pagans don't have anything like this at all.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
God's only come to experience humans if they need something or...
Yeah, and it's that cyclical, a pagan worldview, you know, of gods of nature and the cycles of nature. And what's really, you know, there are theophanies in pagan literature, but it all belongs to the realm of myth, which is the realm of this cyclical time, you know, of the nature gods and the year passing and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God is called the God of the Fathers. Okay. God of the Fathers. And when they say the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, patriarchs, they're talking about the transcendent God coming in human form. Theophany can be in human form. With Moses, we'll see that it is in a burning bush form, or the pyrotechnic fire on the Mount Sinai. You know, it's in different forms, okay? In what form does the Malach Yahweh come to Hagar, right? Do you remember that story?
Yeah. I remember that there was an experience that she had where she recognized later that she actually had an experience of God and was very surprised that she survived.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. She's kicked out of the household, okay, because of the strife with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's left to die, basically. And Yahweh takes compassion. And you're right. He gives her a promise and survival and a vision to go forward. And afterwards, she realized, wow, I just saw God and lived. And so we see this in the Judges, too. We see it throughout Jacob, you know, wrestling. We're going to really, you know, get into that. So enigma is another word, okay? It's the enigma of the holy.
Mm.
If you can understand it, then it's not very holy.
Right, yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
If you can understand God, then you are God.
Right.
So this tension really is manifested here very early on with the patriarchs.
Yeah, and it seems to me it all harkens all the way back to Eden and how God came and walked with Adam and Eve, and they had that direct experience with him, similar to the way that all of these fathers, you know, of the church are doing so. You know,
that's right. And so you see how relational God is.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But his problem, if God has a problem, is how do you relate to not only finite beings like we are, but sinful?
Yeah.
That's lost their glory, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what God is working out here, okay?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is this theophany God? Yes. Okay. Is this theophany everything there is to do with God? I mean, in a sense that the transcendent God is out there and so incomprehensible. And can he be reduced down to this Malach Yahweh, right?
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Okay, is this theophany everything there is to do with God? I mean, in a sense that the transcendent God is out there and so incomprehensible. And can he be reduced down to this Malach Yahweh, right? It just leaves it up for grabs, okay? We have to say yes and no. We have to say, you know, this obviously isn't God in full manifestation because they would be destroyed.
Right. But it does seem like, since we know that God is all-powerful and so much bigger than anything we could possibly imagine, God certainly has the ability, the power to somehow take a part of himself that we could understand, that we could see, and manifest himself in that way so that he's present.
Well, you know, this is foundational to the gospel, isn't it?
Right.
Because within him, the whole Godhead dwelt, right?
Yeah.
He's God incarnate. But when he was walking down the paths and the streets, you know, how many people really recognize that? How many people really understood it? How many people really grasp it? Even his closest disciples.
Sure. The ones that had been with him for so long.
Right.
Had you know, they struggled to understand.
So that mystery is fundamental. The mystery you're talking about.
Yeah.
Of theophanies in the ancient beginnings of Israel's history. Fundamental to Christianity.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that today's culture would put all of this in the category of myth.
Right. You know,
just like the rest of the pagan stories and the summer and the fall and the pagan gods and all of that. I don't think they separate the one true God from all of those.
Yeah, but if anybody has an encounter, like we've talked about before.
Yes, yeah.
If anybody has an encounter, then your faith grasp the ambiguity, even though it's ambiguous, you know that God Almighty has encountered you.
Yeah.
And that same sort of thing is given in this beautiful little hymn of Jacob in 48:15-16. Look at the parallelism. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has led me all my life along to this day. How intimate in linear space and time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mythological.
Yeah.
There's not anything mythological about it as you compare with pagan things, okay?
True, yeah.
Yeah. And then in parallel to that is the last line, the messenger, the HaMalach, who has redeemed me from all evil. So it's clear to in the structure of this little hymn that Jacob recites is that God and the messenger are all the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the messenger is actually the third mentioned here in the parallelism and is emphatic that this God has come to me from the outside in as a messenger to. And what do messengers do? I mean, you know, angelos is actually the word messenger. So when we talk about angels, what are they?
Mm. Yeah, messengers from God.
Yeah, they're messengers from God, right? In that sense, Jesus is the ultimate angelos, right?
Uh-huh. Sure,
messenger. And the prophets, you know, in the prophecy spoke of him sometimes in that sort of language, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what we have here is the thrill that God encounters and that he changes their life, and that it's on this basis that we live and have hope.
Yeah.
Right? When we are able to escape the pagan, magical, manipulative, or just the downright unbelief of the world that we have today with regard to relating with God. I mean, we can relate with God.
Yeah. And you're right. If you've had that experience, I've had that experience of the presence of God to me. And the second line there that you read in that little mm-hmm. poem where God has led me
all my life.
Yeah. I didn't know it for a long time.
Right.
But then when I had an encounter, a real encounter with God, I suddenly realized that that was true.
Right. Now, if you look at these guys, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're very, especially Jacob, as we shall see, I mean, they're very realistic. They're just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not some great Hercules doing mighty and big things.
Right. They're guys.
As babies strangling snakes, you know, yes. in their cribs and stuff like that. I mean, yeah. they're just regular guys. And their life would be mundane. Their life would have been just like any other life, except for it was energized mm-hmm. by a theophany. They met God, and they even were face-to-face.
Yeah, with God.
With God through this theophany that was visible right there. And their life changed from ordinary and common to the holy from that moment on.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys were touched by God in space and time, in the common, and making the common holy.
Yeah.
Pagans had no idea of that sort of thing. And again, it sets the stage for Jesus.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, there are a number of these theophanies, and we're going to come back to them as we see the history unfold, especially in Jacob. Jacob is quite the character. Can't wait to get to him. But I think we probably have maybe one or two more motifs
to go through.
To go through, right. But this one is really at the heart of true religion.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of people go to church. They have no idea that the host that's elevated is Jesus, the flesh of Jesus.
Yeah.
We know this by faith, but it's a God encounter of a highest form, okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
It really is. There are so many people who do not believe that, right? Because they're touched with sort of a Gnostic worldview where, you know, hey, you know, the earthly realm, you know, it's transient. It's not redeemable, mm-hmm. right? Only this spiritual thing, you know, and I can have a relationship, let's say, with Jesus, but it's individualistic and it's all subjective, right? You know, but in the scriptures, you know, there's always this manifestation of the material that's so fundamental. So when we go to Mass, if we really know what's going on, it's a God encounter.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And with every Mass, something changes.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot stay the same if you're participating with the pure heart that's demanded for this, mm-hmm. right? And that we're open.
Yeah,
open,
that's probably the big, yeah.
Just open mm-hmm. To this.
Yeah, to an encounter with God.
To an encounter with God. So, yeah. So, again, it takes many forms, and it'll be interesting as we see things develop going forward. But this is a crucial motif.
Okay, good. I'm looking forward to continuing the look at motifs and even returning to this one. Because
it will always be returning.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay, God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.